This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
What an exciting time.
He's a bitch.
That whiny bitch.
You little bitch.
I hate ass.
Because his bitch is behind me.
She is an aloof bitch.
You freaking bitch.
She won't even return his calls. You freaking bitch.
Punch
what
is up
bitch?
With that?
I mean, I love him, but what a bitch.
Resourceful little bitch.
I'm going to kick your ass, you little bitch.
Pop me up over there, bitch.
And I'm going to shove a burrito in my ass.
Kick the ball, you little bitch.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you kidding me?
We are not.
Gonna go blow some ducks?
Taking a lot of flack right now.
I love that big owl voice.
Taking a lot of
blow some ducks.
Taking a lot of flack right now.
You
want to
ride
Mets,
this jock? Let's go.
From who?
With my Mets buddy. And he says F you, by the way.
F me? Why?
I don't know. Just said F you.
Okay, you New York people.
Screw the learned people. No.
Taking a lot of heat because I said
Black
that if the Mets were out, I wouldn't hate the Phillies. But it's tough. Sorry, but in my hate meter, the Braves are way above the Phillies. Then he made a lewd comment about me and Bryce Harper.
Black, please. Thank you. Would you do Bryce Harper?
If he was a Met.
They asking that question on New York sports radio?
If he was a Met, you know.
I would have slept with George Bush at that moment.
That's true.
I would have power-bottomed the hell out of him.
I would have. If Bryce Harper was on the Mets, I'd have a man crush. The only thing that stops me from having a man crush on Bryce Harper is he's pretty douchey, but he plays for the Phillies. Don't tell me if that dude wasn't on your team that you wouldn't love.
Oh yeah,
some Bryce Harper.
If he were on my team.
Exactly.
Bryce Harper or Fernando Tatis, douchier.
It's kind of douchey.
But that's a douche off.
That's a douche off.
That's a douche off. It's tough. I would have said like 5 years ago, I would have gone Harper.
Did you see Tatis yesterday when he hit that home run?
Yeah, he's that's what I said. If you go back,
Tatis now. It used to be Harper.
I find that Harper has gotten slightly less douchey as he's gotten older. Tatis is still in prime douche. And Harper's older, so maybe Tatis will rowdy on down a little bit. But yeah, dude, he's prime douche. Prime.
Prime time.
Speaking of douches.
Well, but also, I think I'm awesome. Prime time?
Prime time.
Are you calling our show a douche?
I ran through that bull junkie,
possible.
Bro.
There you go. Yeah, we are prime time. I forgot we share something with the great Deion Sanders.
I got something's on.
Yeah. Both douchey, you know. Didn't you buy a pair of those blenders?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I thought you were buying a pair of those blenders.
No, I just said I liked them.
I think you threatened to.
Yeah, I liked it. I like blenders. I actually think that's a pretty good little sunglass. Yeah.
I thought you had purchased a pair.
I couldn't pull that off, dude.
Sprague bought a prime time sweatshirt.
Prime time as in Coach like, Prime?
Yeah, they're selling like Colorado merch, but instead of it saying Colorado, it's got the buffalo and says like Prime Time or Prime.
Why did he buy that?
No.
Is he a Colorado fan now?
I think he got caught up in the Colorado stuff last year. You know. All right.
Go Buffs. What an exciting time.
They got cool merch. Go out. I'll give Colorado that.
Yeah. What an exciting time.
I like their colors.
Colorado's good. Golden black.
Golden black are going to always work in sports.
Yeah, Saints, it works. Golden black works.
I'm not going to lie. When I think of a Colorado football player, I think of Rashawn Salaam.
I think of Cordell Stewart.
Yeah, Cordell Stewart.
That's how old we are.
That would probably be mine, too. Well, when I was coming out, Colorado was actually good.
Yeah.
Coming out of what?
Coming out of high school. Oh. You know, the closet, whatever.
I'm gay.
Whatever you want to come out. Me and my Bryce Harper man crush, you know.
I ate ass.
Wow. It's uncomfortable.
This is getting bad.
This is getting bad. What the hell is happening?
I'm going to get rid of all the women. I'm going to get rid of all the black guys. I'm enjoying the drops tonight. I don't know why. It's a good little show.
Someone asking we could throw Machado into that douche off, too.
Good little show.
Oh, he's a super douche.
I think Tatis is douchier than
super
Machado.
Douche.
I think if Machado were douche. As good as he used to be, or as good as Tatis, that he'd be up there, but he's not as good anymore.
You know what else bothers me about the Yankees and Dodgers is that Aaron Judge nor Shohei Ohtani are douches. That bothers me.
No, they're both extremely likable.
They're great, yeah.
It's a valid point.
Hurts. I mean, we need somebody like an Alex Bregman on one of those teams, don't we?
Well, the entire Houston Astros lineup. I mean,
seriously. on the Yankees are.
I know. I'm just saying the Astros are the douchiest team of all time.
Well, I don't know if you watched Hunter Brown today. Did you watch Hunter Brown?
No, I did not see Hunter.
Okay, so he's a pitcher for the Astros.
Yeah,
he's as douchey as any of them.
Mm. It just happens when you go to Houston, you just kind of absorb the douche factor. By the way, I looked it up. Someone put their starting rotation or their baseball all douche team, and it's pretty good.
Who's on there?
A-Rod captain.
This is all time.
Yeah, they went all time douche.
All right, well, Pete Rose got to be on there.
A-Rod was the captain. They went with the closer Fernando Rodney. You got a bullpen. Brian Wilson's in there.
I was gonna say you could have put Brian Wilson as the closer.
Brian Wilson's in there. Grant Balfour, K-Rod, and John Rocker.
Wait a minute, Grant Balfour? Why?
I don't know.
What did he do?
He was full of pee and vinegar. He tried to fight Detroit Victor Martinez during a playoff series just because he looked at a pitch or something.
Good recall. Never. No, I mean, I've heard of him, but all right. Who else?
K-Rod.
K-Rod. Who's
Francisco Rodriguez?
Yeah, Francisco Rodriguez, the Angels, and then John Rocker, that's pretty impressive. Got Pruszynski behind the plate.
Oh, yes,
yeah. Yep.
Solid.
Yes, really good.
Where'd we go? It got this is kind of some. Now it's an ongoing thread, and someone is just now interrupting. Someone just put the entire Cardinals lineup in there.
Cardinals?
Well, obviously someone hates the Cardinals, which I...
Ooh, somebody says on a text line, Jesse Winker, pretty underrated
douche.
Oh,
yeah,
thing yesterday?
Yes, he is such a douchebag.
He was like cussing out somebody, and then Willie Adames told him to meet me in the parking lot. The whole thing.
Perfect for the Mets.
Machado is on here. Mm-hmm. Bryce Harper in the outfield.
Yeah.
Someone's throwing in a Yasiel Puig.
Oh, that's good.
Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
which I enjoy. We're definitely getting some Pete Rose. Is thrown in there.
He's got to be on.
Nick Swisher making a lot of appearances.
yeah, Swishalicious.
Milton Bradley being thrown in there quite a bit. Psycho douche, which he was the guy that like didn't believe in dinosaurs.
Is he a douche though, or just
that dude tore his ACL arguing with an umpire?
All right.
Someone's going all the way back and saying, like, if you're having a douchey team, there's no way that Ty Cobb isn't the captain of this team.
Why? Because he was an ass?
He's just a horrible, womanizing racist.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I think douche is a different, that's a different archetype. I'm not sure we know that Ty Cobb was a douche. Horrible person.
He did beat up a fan with no hands.
Well, again.
He beat up a cripple.
He's so awful. He's like, was Bob Knight a douche? No, he was just an a-hole.
Yeah, that's tough. So, yeah, I don't know where you're going
Josh
with that.
Josh Donaldson?
Yeah, he could certainly be on there. Boy, he was. And the thing is, like, you're right in that the older he got, like, your peak douche years are when you're at your best. You know, Aubrey Huff, yeah. Brett Boone, yeah. And his frosted tips. Brett Boone used to walk around with a shirt that said, with an arrow pointing to, like, his friends. Like, it says, he's with Boone. He wore that shirt.
Hell yeah.
I mean, come on. Jabba Chamberlain.
Oh, man. Jabba the Hutt. Forgot about him.
Matt Harvey was kind of a douchebag.
Oh, big
Matt
douche.
Harvey was a giant douche. But for a while, I loved The Dark Knight. But yes, giant douche and kind of a creep.
All right. Somebody texts, they don't listen to the club for homoeroticism and sports talk. That's the other 3 hours.
I'm sorry. Ah. Homoeroticism is why you turn into the club. Thank you very much.
All right, we've got screwed up celebrity news for the win next on The Fan. Well, we have a thing here. This is going to have to wait.
We've been derailed. We'll do this in the actual show.
Yeah, the real show, not this dumb hour.
No.
But somebody, where did this come from, Buck?
This is the Vancouver 4 text line. Somebody said that we should make a douche team and also an a-hole team and then vote on who would win a series between them.
Boy, yeah. I'm just saying off the
That's
top
really
of my head.
Good.
I'm saying I love this. It's like when the whites and the blacks played in the NFL. Remember that happened with, was it Will Compton?
Oh, yeah.
Did you mix in a black?
There was the whole social media thing if you did an all-white team versus an all-black team.
Yeah.
NFL.
Black, please. Thank
so
you.
We're not going to do that. We're doing, if someone said you put together the all-douche team, which we were doing, and then the all-a-hole team, because the a-hole is very different than the douche.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying off the top of my head, I think the a-holes.
Yeah, they're going to win.
I think the a-holes are going to win.
Because some of the all-time greats are a-holes. Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
I think Pete Rose might be on this team, not the other team.
Well, I think Pete
Barry
Rose,
Bonds is
I think
on this
Pete
team.
Rose, the player, is more a-hole, but Pete Rose, the person, is more douche.
Yeah.
But as a player, like, Rose is on there, but you're starting pitching alone. The a-hole team is rolling out Clemens, Randy Johnson, and Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's rounding out that rotation, but that's a hell of a threesome right there. Bonds is playing one of the corner outfields.
Wasn't Gaylord Perry an ass? Can we put him on the team?
He's a cheater. He did the old grime ball.
Eat some innings.
Somebody on the YouTube chat mentioning that Jose Canseco has to be on the douchebag team.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
But the a-holes, we're going to get like peak Albert Bell. I'm telling you, the a-holes.
Yeah. That they're a force.
Yeah.
That's an a-hole who could rake.
Dude, Kevin Mitchell's probably our DH.
Maguire.
Oh, Maguire's playing first. Dude, I'm telling you, man.
George Brett?
Get Jeff
Brett
Kent at
was
second
an ass.
Base.
Brett was an ass.
I hate to say this to Pete Rose, but I think Pete's not starting at third. I'm putting George
well,
Brett.
Pete was a second baseman too.
Well, Pete played everything.
We'll put him at second.
I mean, the a-holes, man. That's a lineup. No offense to the douches, but
I agree.
A-Rod's not carrying that over the a-holes. I like it.
So the Vince McMahon doc on wrestling is good. We were mentioning that.
Mr. McMahon.
Yeah. I had no idea that he was... You haven't gotten this far in the thing?
No, I'm only through two.
But it outlines like how the evolution of, you know, how he's... You know, the ebbs and flows of his run at WWE. He's now out because of all the allegations and lawsuits and stuff.
Yeah, which, by the way, if you've read through any of those, it's
really bad.
It's rough stuff.
And I would say, too, because we've talked many times about documentaries now, and they're just kind of fluff pieces and one-sided. This is not. What this is they were sitting down with Vince McMahon to chronicle his life in WWE, and then the lawsuits hit. And when the lawsuits hit and the allegations and everything from the, I think it was Wall Street Journal or New York Times, he canceled the rest of the interviews. And they say that right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, listen, these interviews were all done before we knew of all of the bad stuff that he's accused of. Mm. Not all of it, but in the stuff, the new stuff in the lawsuits. And so all these interviews you're going to see are him before that, and he canceled everything else. We have no access to him after that.
Yeah.
So they're very upfront about it. And they talk about all of the allegations, and they ask all the people in, everybody's interviewed in this, Hulk Hogan all the way down the line.
Yeah.
And they all talk about it. So, well, not that they don't talk about the new lawsuits, but they just talk about him, and he's painted in a very bad light. And it's even worse because you sit and listen to his interviews, and he is so sad and broken and pathetic and delusional that everything he says is laughable. Like, he thinks he's coming across as, like, really polished and, like, saying all the right things, and he's a joke. I will tell you this, that dude is every bit as disturbing a cautionary tale as the Menendez brothers story, which we talked about while you were gone on Friday. I don't know if you've seen that one, but it's the docudrama that's on Netflix as well.
Yeah, I have not seen that because
it's good.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't like, because I read that they took some real license and they talked about them maybe having like an incestuous homosexual relationship, and
they did. Yeah.
No evidence of that. I don't. Yeah. I don't like that.
Well, what's good about it is Javier Bardem. He's worth it just in and of himself.
Yeah.
He plays the dad. But the story of the Menendez brothers is they were abused.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is they were abused so badly and so graphically in the show. I mean, it's graphic. It's a lot.
Yeah.
That they were driven to kill their parents. And Vince McMahon is every bit as disturbing a cautionary tale as that, because he was abused through the age of 12.
Well, he never met his dad. So,
right.
Yeah, it was like, what? Yeah, Vince Sr., who was the guy that started the wrestling business, Vince McMahon didn't even meet his dad till he was like 12. So it was his stepdad that was...
He beat him up.
It
wasn't sexual, but yeah. he claims that his mom sexually abused him,
yeah.
And his dad beat the crap out of him. Or his stepdad beat the crap out of him.
And as I watched it, and this... And I hate to do this. I don't know what I believe about Vince McMahon. I'm not saying that I disbelieved him that he was beaten and molested. You know, those are horrible things. I find him to be entirely untrustworthy. Anything that comes out of his mouth,
totally.
I don't know what to believe.
Well, he's delusional.
Yes.
And you shouldn't believe anything, but I do believe he was abused, because everything that happened in his life is straight out of that playbook. It's he is really basic. He is just a broken man, and that is clearly from very traumatic events. I mean, come on, this is how people get like this.
Yeah.
Is that he's stunted, he has no emotional intelligence.
Is he aware of that, do you think?
No, he's completely so blissfully unaware.
That's the part that gets amazing to me, is that when everybody else can see it except for that person.
Dude, watch it. It is really, really sad to listen to the things that he says that he expects us to believe. And so he's really just all he is. And this is why I always say that we need to remember that the most screwed up of us can be wildly successful in life. All he is a young kid who wanted a dad. Or needed a dad, just like every kid.
Yeah, because he said, like, the moment he met his dad, the Vince Sr., like, he talks about how he instantly fell in love with him, and he didn't know him. It just, he was...
He also didn't ever ask him why he wasn't in his life for 12
years. He just immediately embraced him, and, like, he became his idol because he was...
He needed that.
He needed
it. He was abused by his stepfather, and so he basically just becomes his dad's, you know... he becomes the next his dad. It's a bit like the Trump story. Trump was like this.
Yeah.
His father, clearly, I don't think there's outlines of abuse there, but I think his father, the deal with him is he always wanted the approval of his father, and his big rich father never gave it to him.
No.
And that's why these guys are like this to varying degrees. McMahon is simply a young boy who grew up, he said the only thing he knew how to do was fight.
Yep.
That's it. Because he kept getting his ass kicked, and he was tough, and he's strong, and he's still to this day ripped.
Oh, dude, he really went overboard. Like as he got really into bodybuilding,
Big old juice head.
He is a giant, giant man,
and that's all he is.
Yeah,
and the only other thing he is he is relentless because he was so hurt and didn't develop. that he will stop at nothing. Like, there's nothing else up there. It's very basic. He's just like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to beat you up. And that is true in business. I'm going to take everything that you have, because if you come at me, I'm going to be hurt again. And so I'm just going to hurt everyone along the way. And he is a really awful, awful human. He should be behind bars.
Well, he is a vicious human being.
Yeah, but they chronicle how this manifests itself through WWE. And it's really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. He is not even remotely a genius, in my opinion. He's just, I think he used the term, you'll see it later, but he used the term unrelenting tenacity or something like that. That's all he has. Okay. And it's one trick. And it works because you just bully people and you settle lawsuits and you do whatever the hell you want. He was a good promoter. You know, he knew how to promote. He's the guy who
learned from his dad Hulk how to be Hogan. Like a ring announcer and all that. Yeah. And he was the one that had the
created
idea.
Created a lot of the characters.
Created a lot of the characters. And he chose Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and all that. And there are a lot of wrestlers that swear by him. I mean, there's some that think he's obviously the devil. And there's other people that absolutely swear by him and say, hey, he did great by me. And I think he's one of those guys. And I think a lot of promoter types, the Don Kings of the world, or I think Dana White is a little bit like this, too, is when you are in his circle and he makes there's a symbiotic relationship there to those people. He's probably the best person in the world, but they leave a trail of bodies.
Yep.
You know, in their wake. I remember one interview was like HBO Real Sports, or maybe it was the ESPN, and they were talking about all the wrestler deaths. It was like in the 2000s. Remember when all the wrestlers kept dying? He like slaps the notes out of the ESPN reporter's hands.
Oh, yeah. And they'll cover that.
Do they? He gets like a finger in his face and is like, I remember him. Like, I think when I watched that, I was like, is Vince McMahon going to beat up a reporter?
Yeah, that
like,
was Armin Katayan, and I think Katayan sued him.
Yeah, like even in that, like he is sitting down with an interview with like a national reporter about your business killing people, and your response is to knock the notes out of his hands and threaten the man.
It kind of illustrates how out of touch he is.
Yeah, yes. That's his only play.
That's
like
it?
I said, it's very basic. Yeah. It's one thing. You know exactly what he's going to do, and it's going to be, I'm going to kick your ass.
And yet, and you hear other stories about him, and I'm sure they'll get into this later on, but like there's other wrestlers that have knocked his ass out that say that he's actually a coward. Like Brett, he had a thing with Bret Hart where he did Bret Hart wrong, and Bret Hart went and knocked him out, punched him in the face. So he's one of those two that's the classic bully of, he's this big, strong, muscular guy.
When someone bullies the bully?
When bullies the bully, he doesn't do anything back.
Well, that's documented in here, too, though. That's a pretty good... Bret Hart's an interesting character in this.
Yeah.
Because he's interviewed in there, and he's talking about that. He said... So Vince McMahon paints it as, I screwed over Bret Hart because I knew he was leaving for WCW.
Yeah.
And so I had him lose the belt, and I told him I wouldn't, but I did because that's Vince McMahon. That's what he's going to do.
Hey,
and Hart knew
it. I'm going to look out for me.
Hart, they told him he wasn't going to do it, but Hart knew in the back of his head Vince would do that to him. Mm. Hart was so pissed that he was back in the dressing room, and he said, I was going to kill him. And Vince McMahon's version is, oh, yeah, I knew I owed him one shot to my face, and so I went in there and I stood with my hands by my sides and I let him beat me up. Bret Hart goes, dude, that is not even remotely what happened. I went after his ass and he went after me and I kicked his ass and I hurt him. I hurt him bad.
Yeah, there's video. I don't know if they show, but there's video of that where
wheeling him out.
Yeah, Vince, like, he got his ass whooped. But, you know,
but Vince is saying, well, this is why Vince, you can't believe anything he says.
No.
He says, oh, I waltzed in there. I knew he needed, I was going to give him the opportunity to punch me.
Yeah.
Whatever, Vince.
And that's why I said that even though I'm only a little bit into this and I find it very interesting and I've seen other documentaries about the wrestling business, I find that world fascinating. Even as I was listening to some of the childhood stuff, I just never know what to believe with Vince McMahon, because I just think he will say anything and do anything to cover his own ass and make him look better.
But he's so predictable in that way that you just know what's coming.
Yeah.
But watch out if you have to battle him in anything, dude. He's relentless.
I wouldn't want to go against him.
Hell no.
When you have someone that is willing to, they always say, like, the most dangerous person in the world is the one that won't stop no matter what, and the one that doesn't have anything to lose.
That's him.
And that's Vince. Yeah. He just doesn't care.
Yeah.
That dude's terrifying.
Somebody said the only two people who were 100% honest without care of how they talked about him were Bret Hart and Tony Atlas.
Yeah.
That may be true. Hulk held back. He was trying to be... Well, Yeah, he was trying to be.
Because Hulk's a terrible human being, too, that rode that blood money for a long, long time.
Dude, it's really cool. You know, the WWE thing, just one last thing. I was into wrestling as a kid and, of course, grew out of it. But to see that it's still going now, I mean, that dude has built something.
Yes.
And it talks about how he built it and connecting with the audience and the emotion of it and getting people fired up. I had no idea of the storyline of him and his family were in the ring fighting each other. And
there was a
characters.
His kid. There's an infamous one, and I don't think they ever went through with it because I think his daughter refused. But I think at one point, if I'm not mistaken, Vince tried to have a storyline of
he knocked her up. His daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, yes. Vince, and she said no.
Yeah. Vince wanted that storyline.
Yeah.
In the
because he thought it would just be good for business.
And that was my prime wrestling years. Like the whole Vince McMahon and also Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, really?
Like that was when I was in middle school, like all into it.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that was late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like 99, 2000.
Yeah, and they got a lot of those guys back from WCW. So he ultimately beat WCW, but it took many years. WCW was taking his
He killed Ted Turner. He knocked him out.
But Ted Turner for the longest time had him beat.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was this big battle. It's all chronicled in there. I just didn't know, about, Steve Austin and then The Rock and then John Cena. Like, all of these guys that he kept creating. Yep.
Cultural icons.
Yes.
So, I mean, he is a terrible human being, but he created some of the biggest pop culture icons of our lifetime. From Hulk Hogan to Steve Austin to The Undertaker to Brock Lesnar.
How about D-Generation X and all the Suck It guys?
Those guys are cultural icons, and they were all conjured up with Vince McMahon.
By Vince McMahon.
Yeah, by Vince.
He did it.
He was the one that had the control over all that stuff.
Although they're saying now that even without him in there, they're doing great. Mm-hmm. They're making money hand over fist.
Go figure, man. I don't get it, but...
Oh, I get it. It's lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
Entertainment.
Well, it's just male soap operas, and
doesn't seem that hard, but
he did it better than everyone else.
He sure did. Worth a watch. It's called Mr. McMahon, and it's on Netflix. 6 parts, about an hour each part, and at the end, they get into all the
lawsuits.
The really bad lawsuits.
Yeah. As Sug mentions, the stuff that he's been accused of
is really bad.
Horrific stuff.
Yeah. And of course, he doesn't comment on any of it because he cut off the interviews once that came out.
Yeah.
All right, you little bitches. What's next?
True story.
Where do you go from there? Where do you go from Vince McMahon?
You waiting on me?
Nah.
Well, we got to get to the Frankie Valli story.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got... the latest on Diddy. I don't know if you know about him.
I just like the memes that are popping up. Oh, it's bad stuff, but funny.
So all of that coming up next. Here's
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In other screwed up celebrity news, which, by the way, I can't wait for the Diddy documentary 25 years from now, where detail his childhood and how abused he was, and that's why he was the way he was.
It's kind of weird. TMZ already has something out on that now? Like, there's already something available.
Yeah, it was 50 Cent did something on it, and they said the reason he did that was because he wanted to put out there that it's not the entire music industry that's like Diddy. Because a lot of people are saying, now the music industry is under the microscope, and watch out, this is normal. And 50 Cent is saying, no, it's not. And he does a documentary on Diddy that kind of shows why he's different.
Well, like I was talking, I have a friend of mine who's very much in the music industry at the highest levels. And no, it's not the case. Are there creepy people in Hollywood? Absolutely, there are creepy people in the music business. But, dude, the Diddy stuff is like some first ballot Hall of Famer right down the checklist, like demonic evil. Not everyone. I mean, that's such a stupid thing. Like, oh, Hollywood's a bunch of pedophiles. Yeah, Tom Hanks is out there being a pedophile. Denzel Washington. No, they're not.
You know what I saw? I saw a New York Post story today that said Denzel Washington reportedly stormed out of a Diddy party saying, you have no idea how to treat people.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, who knows if there's truth to that or not.
There's some good people in the industries. I hate that, the whole, the Hollywood or the music industry. Trust me. There aren't two people that think less of the industry that they're in than these two right here. But to say that everyone in radio is like the worst douche you've ever met. But not everybody. There's some good people.
No, I know. I just think it's to varying degrees, right? Yeah. I think a lot of it's the grooming stuff and that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, the old
happens more than we think.
Well, it's just weird in that, like, the casting couch was something that we talked about. Like, everyone joked about for years and years and years, and then someone was like, actually sat down and thought about what that is, and they're like, yeah,
that's assault, brother.
You want this job? Welcome to the casting couch. And then you're like, yeah, that's not good.
So Diddy's screwed up for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know much about his childhood or his life, but...
Sean Combs?
Once he became famous, he certainly is a bad dude.
Yeah.
And now there is a Texas law firm, and this is Tony Busby, that same dude who's behind all the Deshaun Watson lawsuits. Stuff. He is about to file suit on behalf of 120 accusers of Sean Combs.
Yeah.
120. And he says there is a list of his accomplices that will be revealed, and some of them are giant names, household names. And he's going to release this list. He said anyone who participated in assaults, but also those who encouraged it, benefited from it, or helped conceal it. He said, we're throwing him under the bus.
Yeah.
So, anybody complicit should be thrown under the bus. I mean, if you just stood around and watched? No. Sorry.
Well, I often feel like guys like Tony Busby, he's an ambulance chaser guy. Mm-hmm. Not to say he's not a legitimate attorney, but I often feel like he has teased big drops like this before and not delivered.
Yeah, exactly.
And we heard that, there's an Epstein list. That never came.
No.
So I'm not going to hold my breath, but it would be, it's going to be fascinating, should it come out, how many people you know, well, encouraged and kind of participated with Diddy. You know, he's catching a lot of heat right now, and he's getting defensive about it. It's Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Hart. Leo's catching a lot of flack. Supposedly, Leo was... Well, and Leo's famous for... how we say...
He prefers younger legal women.
Younger legal women. And so there's a lot of people that think, boy, if you really like 18, 19, 20-year-olds...
Yeah, he's shown up in some photos from decades past at Diddy's white parties and things like that.
Look, I'm not, you know... I don't know. I would like to believe that Leo's like, well, you got to wait till they're 18. But again, when you really like young girls, it's not that much of a leap to assume that you really like young girls. But yeah, there's a lot of rumors flying around. And so I try to give people the benefit of the doubt until you hear about the details. But I'm assuming he's not the only one. He was having parties with a lot of big time folks. Then you get into the whole, because you go to a party, did you know what was going on at the party?
There have been some athlete names thrown around too.
You're photographed with him.
Yeah.
Who's the worst person you've ever been photographed with? Do you have that holstered?
The worst person.
Yeah, like if a picture came out and it's you and Epstein, I'm like, oh, Sook, what the hell are you doing?
That's a good one.
Do you have one?
I got one.
I don't think I do.
Because
I'm great.
Yeah, I do think that there's probably a photo. We had a listener of ours that was in a biker gang that I met a time or two, and he's now doing a life sentence behind prison. I think there's a photo with
behind prison, not in prison.
No, he's behind the prison. He's
behind
the bars.
Mark Scholl,
he's in the bars behind the prison.
I mean, he's a murderer, and I think there's a photo of the two of us. He liked
Look
the show.
Look at you, posing for photos with murderers.
Yeah, he liked the show.
Did you pose for a photo with Mark Scholl?
No.
You're racist, buddy?
You know what's bad is that if you would have asked me in the moment that I met Mark Scholl and I met someone that would go on to, you know, be a murderer in a biker gang, I would have told you that the biker gang guy 1,000 times better than Mark Scholl. Like, I willingly met with the biker guy. The Mark Scholl thing was just thrown upon me. If you don't know who Mark Scholl is, look that up, because that dude is awful. So I'd say that's, I mean, murder, right? Is there anything? Like, that's, I don't think I've met another murderer. Have you met a murderer?
I don't think so. I mean, I've often thought Swigard has killed a few people, but I can't prove that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I had a friend that was convicted of rape. Well, friend is a loose term.
Nice friend, dude.
Well, it was, you know, college.
I knew someone in college who a couple years ago got pinched for some, like, child porn stuff.
Yeah, so that
and
was...
And I don't know if I've been photographed with that person, but, yeah.
Wow.
You had a guy that I briefly played with, and he got convicted of rape, and I'm assuming it somewhere. We hung out a little bit. There was probably that was pre-cell phone. So I don't know if there was I doubt there was a photo of us.
You and Aaron Hernandez photo floating out there somewhere?
Yeah, probably not. I don't think so. Nate Webster was a teammate of mine in Tampa.
What'd he do?
I think I think it was rape. I want to be careful with that. But he went to prison. He was a Miami Hurricane, and he was on. Although we were not friends, I thought he was a terrible, terrible person. But yeah, I don't think I have anyone other than the biker guy that I would say really would be like, oh my god, like that one was bad.
Or you wonder if you just have any photos out there at any point in your life where it's someone you had no idea, but they had killed people.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Menendez brothers sitting front row in the
I mean that guy
at the
that
Knicks
I,
game or whatever it
that
was.
Guy that I met, he had a body in his freezer.
Well, yeah. Was it the Knicks game?
It might
Mark
Jackson. Oh, maybe Laker cuz
they
were in LA, right? Yeah. So but Mark Jackson could have been playing for he would have been playing for the Knicks or Pacers. I don't remember which one.
I do think about sometimes like I don't think it was the case, but is it possible that the body was there when I was there? I've had I've had that thought.
Did you go to his house?
No, it was like a clubhouse sort of thing. Like there, like where the group hung out. So a clubhouse, like a bar, but it was their clubhouse,
like biker clubhouse.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They were probably
it's like Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, and I don't think it was there. I think this was a significant period of time afterwards. But I've had that thought. But Nate Webster was the linebacker that I played with. He was sexual battery, gross sexual imprisonment, 5 counts, blah, 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 minor, 15 years old.
Ooh.
So.
Jesus.
Yeah. And that was one of those that if you would have said a guy that I played with, I wouldn't have been shocked. He was volatile. He was a lot. And he got 12 years in prison.
We got to wrap it up. Next, is Frankie Valli really alive?
I don't think so.
Did you guys do your homework? Did you go watch the vids?
I saw it before.
Dude, it's something else.
It is what? Shocking.
We'll wrap up the show next on The Fan.
I think Rob has left us. I think he abandoned us.
Yeah, he just gave up on the show. Apparently he does not want to do the Frankie Valli story.
I think he's hanging out with Diddy is what he's doing.
Oh.
Rob's over there having
that could be problematic.
Rob's over there having a baby oil party right now. What if Rob's name's on that list? What if the Diddy list comes out and Asachi's on it?
I still love how quick Costco clapped back and is like, wait a second. No. We don't even sell that. Sorry.
Have you seen like the, if you say baby oil 3 times in the mirror and then like someone does the meet and like Diddy's head like pops up from around the corner at you? No. Yeah. It's like Diddy, Diddy, Diddy. And then he just, his head like creeps around the mirror.
And now, and I think you mentioned it when this first came up. Like now I think about his character in the Get Him to the Greek movie.
Yes.
And like, just the way that he like bullied people over text and all that. I'm like, I weirdly hear that now.
And I looked it up. Like he's not like, he came from a middle-class family he like went to Howard University. And,
yeah. He's not from like the, didn't like grow up in the like rough, a normal, and poverty situation.
It doesn't mean he wasn't abused.
No,
no.
So,
well,
like, no one said that.
So I was looking up his history there and you know, if he's going to go down the abuse cart, he was a Catholic altar boy.
Ah, there you go.
I mean,
blame it on the church.
Do you feel at all bad? Like, I mean, obviously.
For who?
Well, so Diddy, let's assume that Diddy did what he's being accused of.
Diddy did what Diddy do?
Diddy out there doing what Diddy
I did,
does.
I did it.
He did it. He did a lot of ditters. But it turns out that he was, let's say.
Can we clip that? Did I talk over that?
I do knew that.
Can we add that?
No, we're going to have to check the tape on that.
Yeah, check the tape on that.
Right?
That could be good.
So let's say like we find out that Diddy was molested for like 7 years by a Catholic priest.
Uh-huh.
Does it?
No.
Not for me. Say, does it take any of the sting out?
No, it doesn't, because I know a lot of people who I don't know them personally.
You know a lot of people that have do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
that lot in life, and that is very bad, and I am sympathetic to that.
And that explains why they go down that road, but it doesn't excuse it.
The statistics, the statistics do say that if you are molested, you are it's like three times more likely that you will end up doing it to someone else.
I did it.
Yeah, but I don't...
There's no sympathy there.
Not for what he did. There is sympathy for what happened to him.
Sure.
But Buck said it best there. It doesn't excuse what he did.
No.
Like you can understand how someone's past would send them down that road, but you can't ever excuse it.
Because I watched that Dahmer documentary.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't a documentary. It was a...
Docudrama.
Docudrama. But I have seen a documentary on Jeffrey Dahmer as well. And when I watch that, there is part of me that's like... And I don't feel bad for Jeffrey Dahmer. I feel bad for 8-year-old Jeffrey Dahmer. And it's almost like that kid had no chance.
Well, it's like the first 12 years of Vince McMahon's life.
Yeah, like it's weird in that you don't... I don't know. I guess I separate it. At some point, you stop having sympathy, but I do feel bad for that kid because I think about how many times that could have stopped if someone had just given an S or just stopped doing that to the poor kid. You know, it's like none of those things are... No evil is born. It's created. And I guess that's where it's one of those, like, if you're 8 years old and you have some cat, think about, like, this happened to Michael Jackson, right? Michael Jackson was raised a devout Jehovah's Witness by his mom. And then he would go and he really bought into it because his mom was very devout. And then he would go on the road with his dad, and his dad would bang hookers with his brother and make Michael watch. And when Michael said no or wouldn't watch, he would beat him. And you wonder why Michael was screwed up, like, sexually and all the different stuff he had going on. And it's like
kind of the Tiger and Earl Woods thing,
right? Like you don't have a choice. There's no chance for you to grow up and be...
Well, there's a difference.
Not effed.
There's a difference between being not effed and doing and acting out knowingly and hurting other people the way Diddy or, you know, Vince McMahon have. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Michael was, and Michael, you know, same.
Yeah.
Same thing. He was screwed up, but he didn't have to do what he, now, to be screwed up sexually, I think I have a little bit more sympathy. I mean, like maybe 2% more for the, for that. Because how could you be normal sexually when that happens to you?
You just can't.
But that still doesn't mean you, oh, I can't help it. I have to diddle a little boy. No, you don't.
He did a dirt. He did a lot of dirts.
There we go. What a great way to end the program.
That is a great way to end it. A happy little topic.
A happy little topic.
Hey-o.
You still,
he did a dirt.
You
he did a lot of dirts.
You still know the difference between right and wrong. You know?
I don't know.
I think you do. You know.
You know. You know.
Oh, you know.
That's why you keep an alarm on your bedroom door.
Crazy. All right, on that note.
Yeah, all right.
Let's go watch some baseball.
Grab some Jesus juice and watch some baseball.
Our show returns, believe it or not, tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.